So tonight we're going to talk about overcoming traditionalism. And we're going to learn what traditionalism is and how to overcome it in our churches. Because most churches I know of have some traditionalism in them, and we have to identify it and get it out. So, we're going to read Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrite! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth is what defiles them." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." The Pharisee, Saul of Tarsus, was going to become the Apostle Paul. But before Saul of Tarsus got saved and was revealed by the Lord Jesus Christ what really was true and not, Saul of Tarsus was very zealous for the teaching of the fathers. Even when the teachings of the fathers would disagree with the Word of God, Saul of Tarsus was going to keep the traditions of the fathers. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 13, "For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism." This is the Apostle Paul who was Saul of Tarsus. "How intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers." Now, not all traditions of men are wrong. Some traditions are quite good. But what we need to be careful of, when the tradition in your church, whatever church you go to, including this one, when the traditions of "this is how we've done it for years, this is what our leader told us, and so we're going to do it," and you can't say, "Wait a minute, where do you find that in scriptures? Show me in scriptures why you're doing what you're doing." If they get angry about that, my friends, it's time to find a different church. We celebrate Christmas December 25th. We've been doing that for years. It's a tradition that was passed down through the generations. Very likely Jesus was not born on December 25th. We don't know when he was born. But it's a tradition, and it doesn't matter which day as long as our nation celebrates the day that he was born. Not all traditions are bad. Some are very, very good. We meet on Sunday morning. Do you know there's no command in the scriptures for the church to meet on Sunday morning? There's clear teaching all the way back to the apostles that the church did meet on Sunday morning. That was when the church met. They would go to the temple on Saturday to try to convert Jews, and then the church would meet together on Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. But there's no clear commandment that the church has to meet on Sunday. In fact, in the book of Romans, it says, "One man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike." And it says both can be right. you don't have to worship on Sunday. I remember when the Catholic Church first started meeting on Saturday, I went, how can they do that? But you can do that. There's nothing forbidding worshiping on Saturday night or Monday morning or whenever you want to meet with other Christians. But the church historically has met the first day of the week. And so we meet the first day of the week. It's not a bad tradition, but it's not written in stone by God anyplace, including the New Testament. There's no clear command when the church is to meet. So we don't have to overcome all the traditions that the church has passed down for generations. But traditionalism is different. When you see ISM at the end of any word, that is an ism. When you see communism, that's a way of life. The communists teach that we all live together, and no matter how much you put into society, you ought to get the same thing back as everybody else. In other words, I go to work, I work 5 days, 6 days a week, 10, 12 hours a day, and I try to make money, but another guy decides he's not going to work at all. He's perfectly able to work, but he's not going to. Both men get the same thing. That's an ism. That's a teaching of men. It's not what God's Word says. What does God's Word say about work? You don't work, you don't eat. Now, that's not talking about somebody that can't work. That's talking about an able-bodied man or woman that just doesn't want to work. And there are literally thousands of them all over our country. They just don't want to work. So, what our Lord is speaking of is traditionalism, and the suffix at the end of the word, ISM, is an act or a practice or a doctrine of men. And it doesn't matter what it is, it's a teaching of men, not from God. And so when Paul was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers, he was saying, regardless of what God's word says, I'm going to do what the fathers said. Folks, that's a very dangerous place to be. You don't want your acts of life and what you believe to be dictated to you by men, especially when it's contrary to the word of God. That's what we need to be careful of. That's exactly what Jesus Christ was speaking about in Matthew 15, again, verse 3. Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition." Why do you suppose the Jewish priest brought up the idea that if you have money set aside for your parents, but you give it to temple worship, you don't have to give that to your parents? Why do you think they did that? Who got the money? The priest did. It's a wonderful teaching. It puts money in my pockets. I can live like a king. But it disobeyed the clear teaching of God's word. And so Jesus answered their question with a question. Traditionalism is the practice of putting the teaching of men who started whatever denomination you happen to be in, putting their declarations as more important than the clear teaching of God's word. And every denomination that I know of has some of those traditions. And it's up to the people of God to ask the question, where do you find that teaching in God's word? You're nice people. I like it in this church. But I'm seeing things that I do not see in God's word. Show me. You ought to give them the benefit of the doubt. If it's a Christian church, you ought to be able to say, show me in the word of God why we're doing what we're doing. If they cannot show you, if they get angry with you at the question, it's time to move on. The teachings of Seventh-day Adventism found its source in Mary Baker Eddy, They claim she was a prophet in the church. But they take Mary Baker Eddy's word above the Bible. That's where the danger comes in. I don't care if it's Mary Baker Eddy or the Pope or a pastor or a bishop. It doesn't matter, folks. We all are in submission to God's word, or we're going into traditionalism. You need to be very careful here. Truth, honest truth, is not discovered by men. Honest truth is given by God. It's in His Word. If it's not in His Word, you better be careful following the teaching, especially if you can see clearly in God's Word that it's actually contrary to the Word of God. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." And so we have the Word of God, Jesus Christ, and we have the Word of God, the Scriptures, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Those two things, God says, that's the truth. We can go to that source. We can compare anything else that men try to teach us is the right way to live with the Scriptures. In John 16, verse 12, Jesus said, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He'll speak only what he hears, and he'll tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it's from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he'll make known to you." So the Holy Spirit began to inspire the apostles to write the Word of God. And they wrote Scripture, the New Testament, to tell us what the church is supposed to be. The Old Testament was written to inform the Old Testament saints how they were to live. But things are different now. We don't live under the commands that God gave to Israel. We are not Israel. We are the church today. And the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, has given commands to his church. And that's how we operate. In Matthew 15, 1, "Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, 'Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat.' Jesus replied, 'And why do you break the commands of God for the sake of your tradition?'" Jesus' reply to their question was a question. Now, folks, sometimes that's the best way to go. When somebody's asking you a question, and you know a better question, that's a great way to answer. Why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? Washing of hands before you eat is good advice. So many mothers say, "Johnny, did you wash your hands?" Because mothers know that a lot of diseases are on our hands. So wash, it's important. But this was a tradition of the fathers, and it wasn't a normal washing of the hands. You had to have a particular copper pot. You had to wash one hand at a time, let that rascal dry, and then you would wash the other hand one hand at a time, let that dry, and now you're ready for supper. Folks, the Bible nowhere commanded that. But the Bible did clearly command that you are to take care of your parents. When they get older, you are to make sure that they are taken care of. They took care of you or you wouldn't be here. It's time to turn it around. In every family I know, there are times when the parents just can't do it anymore. They can't cut their own lawn. They can't do their own washing. They can't do much of anything. That's when what happens. If the family's there, that's when they come in. If there's no family there, guess what? That's where the church comes in. When Pat was coming here regular, I would ask her about every third week, Pat, do you have anything at your home that we could help you with? Because Pat can't cut her own lawn anymore. We were over there one time when I and Dave went and called her on the first time. She was raking her yard. And even back then, I don't know, that's been 5 years ago. I don't know, but a while ago. Even back then, you could see she was struggling. She said, no, Pastor, I don't want the church to help me because this is how I get my family to come. I want my family to help me. And that's biblical. That's the way it should be. But when the family's not there, then the church steps in, or at least they should. When Betty Vance was coming here, she was 92 or 3 when she couldn't come anymore. And she apologized like crazy. I feel so bad I can't come. And I said, Betty, you came all the time you could. And we would go over and rake her lawn and clean it up and get her ready for spring. It was great for the church. The washing of hands taught by the Pharisees was traditionalism. Nowhere in Scripture do you find that command. God is not against tradition. He's against traditionalism, things that are contrary to His Word. So it's very important. How do you know if you have traditionalism virus? Because it's catching. Somebody comes up with a great theory of what they think God wants, and everybody starts to follow them. How do you know if you're getting caught up in it? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're going to a church, and my sister-in-law was in such a church when she was a girl, they said, don't read the Bible. We'll tell you what it says. Because if you read it yourself, you're going to get all confused. Folks, that's traditionalism. They don't want you to read what God says because they want to tell you what they think you ought to be doing. Be very careful when a church tells you, don't study the Scriptures. Trust us. The Bible gives a severe warning against trusting any man. All men are what? All men are liars. The Bible proclaims that very clearly. All men lie. God does not lie. When His Word says something different than your pastor, your bishop, your pope, or whoever, you've got to say that is not right. In Jeremiah 17:5, here's a very severe warning. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Folks, you need to be careful here. Because if you're trusting in a man, and you're not studying the Word of God yourself to see if what he says is true, you are heading for disaster. You may not know it until it's eternally too late. You've got to study the Scriptures. Most churches teach what their founding fathers said. I don't care if it's Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic, Methodist. They go all the way back to their founding fathers, and this is the way we've always done it, and so this is the way we're always going to do it. Folks, that should never be. I don't care what church you're a member of, whether it's Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, Catholic. You ought to say, this is the way you've always done it, but is it according to the Word of God? I mentioned that almost every church has some traditionalism in it. But the Catholic Church is the only church that I know of that's very honest and tells you right up front what they believe. The Catholic Church says their doctrine is based on the Scriptures and on the traditions of the Fathers. And when the traditions of the Fathers goes against the teaching of Scripture, they go with the teaching of the Fathers. That's pretty upfront. That lets you know that if you're attending a Catholic church and the Pope says this is the way it is, even if your Scriptures say, no, that's not the way it is, you obey the Pope. Because he can't do anything wrong. The Pope is inspired by God to tell you. But the Bible says don't trust any man. You have to compare it with Scripture. The decrees of the Pope are infallible in the Catholic Church. in the Catholic Church, in the history of the Church, indulgences were sold. Now, if you don't know what an indulgence is, an indulgence is where you come to your priest or your pastor, whatever, and you say, I'm going to have sex with my neighbor's wife, and I want to have it forgiven before I ever do it. And so you would give the priest the sum of money, and he would absolve you of all sin. The Catholic Church did that. And that's why Martin Luther broke from the Catholic Church. That was one of the main reasons, because of indulgences. Second, you're satisfied with the answer. You'll have the virus. If you're satisfied with the answer, well, that's just the way we've always done it. Folks, if it's contrary to the Word of God, I don't care what they've always done. It's wrong. And you have to stand up and say, as for me and my family, we're going to follow what the Lord says. Have a great time in your church, but I'm out of here. Folks, you got to be careful here. So most religious leaders don't like those who ask questions. Where in the Bible do you get the teaching that playing cards is wrong? You can't find it. Sad to say, I'm not saying playing cards is the greatest thing you can do with your time, but it's not forbidden. Where in the Bible do you get the teaching that dancing is wrong? You can't find that. But Baptist churches teach that. It's a sad situation. Where in the Bible do you find the teaching that you can't drink any alcoholic beverages and be a Christian? It's not there. It says do it in moderation, don't get drunk. I don't drink because 3 beers and I'm gone. So for me, the best thing for me is just don't drink. But if other people can do it in moderation and it's not forbidden in the Word of God, the Bible says be careful of two things. Don't take away from the Word of God, and don't add to the Word of God. If God hasn't said it, we as people cannot make a rule. Now, you can make a rule in your church. If you want to be a member of this church, you can't drink. That's okay. But you can't make a rule that God said that. That's a church decision. So there's a difference here. Where in the Bible do you find infant baptism is a good thing? It's absolutely forbidden. You don't get baptized until you believe. Mom and dad can't do that for you. But the church has had infant baptism since about the year 300. And Lutheran churches and Catholic churches do it. It's not right. Where in the Bible do you find that you can earn your salvation by good works? I went to a Baptist church in Saginaw. That's exactly what they taught me. You can earn your way to heaven by doing good. Folks, many churches will tell you not to ask questions. If your pastor, that's one of the things I loved about Jefferson Williams, our pastor at Trinity, I could ask him any question, and he could show me from the Bible why we did what we did. Folks, if your pastor says, don't ask questions, get out of there. There's something seriously wrong. When fully mature, the traditional virus will do this to you. It'll cause you to disobey God and His Word. When traditionalism meets the Scripture, traditionalism wins out. And it shouldn't. People should stand up and say, no, I'm not going along with that. You can do whatever you want in your church, but I'm no longer a member of this church. I'm out of here. So, the teaching of the fact that you don't have to support your family was called Corban. If a dad or a mom would say, I'm going to take the money that should go to support my parents, and I'm going to give it to the Lord's house, the temple, it was Corban. And you were allowed not to support your parents. But Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, says very clearly the opposite. Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And it doesn't matter if you're a little boy or girl to honor your parents, or you're a 60-year-old woman or man, and your parents are in their 80s. You are to honor them. You're to help take care of them. Because you wouldn't be here if they didn't take care of you. Again, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 3, Jesus replied, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother should be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they will not honor their father and mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Two times in those four verses, Jesus said, for the sake of your tradition, you're breaking the word of God. When the church baptizes infants, and you go to a Catholic or a Lutheran funeral, and they say this person got saved at their baptism, I hope you can say in your heart, no, I never stand up and say, no, they didn't. That's not the time. But I hope you're saying in your own heart, no, they did not. If they didn't get saved at an older age when they could understand the gospel, they never got saved. Because it's so important. In Matthew 15, verse 7, Jesus said, you hypocrite, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rule. When the human rules disobey the word of God, you've got to say no. I'm not going to go along with this thing. In Matthew 15, verse 14, Jesus said, leave them, they are blind guides. If the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a pit. Again, I want to go back to Jeremiah 17 because this is a severe warning to all of us. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wasteland. They'll not see prosperity when it comes. They'll dwell in the parched places in the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. We need to be very careful, because those people will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its shoots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Our Lord is looking at your life and my life and saying, are you producing the fruit of the Spirit? Is love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness, is it all growing in you? Are you displaying it more and more? You'll never get there through traditionalism. So there are many teachings of men in churches, denominations, that are in complete opposition to the Word of God. And literally millions of people are following those traditions, thinking they're going to be all set. Folks are told in their churches, if you will baptize your baby at 8 weeks old or whatever the age is that they give, your baby's going to be saved. That's not just Catholic. That's in several different churches. That is absolutely not according to the Word of God. You can get saved through good works that you do. Sacraments are works, grace-bestowing works. That's what the word sacrament means. A grace-bestowing work. If you do the work, is it grace? It's not grace anymore, folks. You earned it. But you can't earn salvation. And so it's a false teaching of the church. Keeping the law of God in order to obey God is what you must do. The Bible says, by the works of the law, no flesh is ever going to be justified in His sight. And so the teaching in many churches is absolutely contrary to the teaching of God's Word. In Galatians 5:1, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. And do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he's obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You've fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await, by faith, the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. In the Old Testament, they were taught that when a baby's 8 days old, they have to be circumcised. Our Lord Jesus was circumcised at 8 days. Why? Because the law demanded that. The law went from the time of Moses until the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has been dead now how many years? 2,000 years. The law of Moses does not apply to the church. If you didn't get circumcised, you were not a part of the nation of Israel. But the good news is, we're not Israel today. We're the church. We don't have to be circumcised. We don't have to worry about the law. So the last thing I want to bring up tonight, how can you protect yourself against the virus of traditionalism? Number one, consider the opinions of men. Your pastor, your bishop, whatever you got, consider their opinion, but study the scripture to make sure they're right. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, it says, "Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men." The Bereans were thinkers. Yes, this is what my pastor said, but I'm going back to the source of truth to find out if what he said is right. Folks, you need to do that. I don't care what I preach. You need to go back to your own Bible. You need to look at it and say, yeah, that's what it says, or no, I don't see it. I'm going to ask Pastor Jerry, where did you get that? I welcome questions, just like Pastor Williams did. I think it's important. It's the best way you can learn. Get into the Word for yourself. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, "But as for you, continue what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." When Paul said, you need to remember who you learned it from, who did Timothy first learn the gospel from? No. His mother and his grandmother. They loved him and they taught him the Word of God. Folks, I hope that as a grandmother, a mother, an uncle, a dad, that you're training your children. That's your primary job in life, whether you know it or not. Your job is not to be the greatest farmer, the greatest machine repairman, the greatest painter, or whatever you're into. Your job is to train your children, because you're bringing forth another generation for the Lord. And Lord willing, they'll do the same thing with their children, who will do the same thing with their children. It's so important. One last time, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study what? Study the Word of God, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Every time I preach, and you're here, you ought to be studying, was what Pastor Jerry said according to God's Word? If it is, by all means accept it. If it isn't, bring it to my attention. I'll change what I'm teaching if I can't prove it to you. It's so important, because literally thousands of people, in fact millions in our country, are going week after week being taught the traditions of men and rejecting the Word of God. What's going to happen when this life is over and they stand before God in judgment and they say, I did everything the priest or the bishop or my pastor said. I should be okay, right? And the Lord says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Folks, that's going to be a sad day. And pastors and bishops and popes are going to give an answer for that. The Bible says, don't be a teacher, because you're going to give a double assessment. You need to be careful if you're a teacher. I don't care if you're a pope or a bishop or a pastor. You better be careful what you're teaching, because you're going to give an account. And I want to give an account with joy. And so if you ever see me preach something contrary to the Word of God, please come to me and let me know. I'll be glad to look at it with you. We're going to sing, He Leadeth Me.